just a moment. 1 John chapter 1. All right, you pray for us this morning that the Lord would speak to our hearts. 1 John chapter number 1, and we're going to read, there's only 10 verses, so we're going to read the whole chapter and then a couple of verses in chapter number 2. So we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Let's pray. Lord, we just come today, and I want to thank you for your blessings. And I want to thank you, Lord, for letting us be here today. Lord, it is a great privilege. And Lord, we count it a blessing to be able to have the health and the strength and the means to get out in the bad weather and to be able to come to your house. And Lord, we have a warm place to worship. And we thank you for all of these things. And Lord, I pray for all of those that couldn't get out today. I pray for all those that are out working on the roads and the ambulance services and all the people that, Lord, just their life's calling, they have to be out here during all this bad weather. I'm sure they'd rather be at home or in your house, Lord, instead of out in harm's way. So, Lord, please be with them in a special way. And, Lord, we pray for your help, your blessing this morning. I pray that the Spirit of God would just speak to our hearts from your word. Lord, if anything good is done here today, it'll be because that you have done it and not because of anything that we've done or said. But Lord, we pray just to be used of you this morning. I pray the Lord Jesus would be exalted and glorified in all that's said and done. And Lord, that you would lead and direct and just give good liberty to preach your word. I pray for your help and I pray for your blessing. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, I want us to go back this morning. We're going to sort of start in verse number 2 and focus on what the Bible is telling us here in verse number 2, although we're going to use the other verses to bring the message. But in verse number 2, the Bible said, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." And two times in this verse you have the word manifested. And that is a Bible word. And it's a word I don't think, unless it's been a long, long time ago, that I've really ever paid attention to that word. But the word manifest or manifested, manifestly, manifestation, these are all words that we find in the Bible. But that word in all of its variations is found 50 times in the Bible. It's interesting, it's only found one time in the Old Testament, and all the other times we find it in the New Testament. John, the Apostle John, who wrote the book of 1 John, in fact, he wrote John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. He's very fond of this word manifest or manifested. It's used seven times in the book of John, seven times in the book of 1 John, which only has five chapters. 1 John is very short. And then he uses it one time in the book of Revelation. And the word manifest, it means this. It means to render apparent. Apparent meaning this, to be plain. Something that is open, clearly visible to the eye, or obvious to the understanding, to be apparent, not obscure or difficult to be seen or understood. It is very apparent that we are getting ready for a Christmas program here at church. If you miss that, you're not paying very close attention, because I'm preaching in a manger this morning. And we've got donkeys and we've got cows and sheep and manger and all of these things. So you shouldn't have missed that. That is clearly visible. And everybody, if you're paying any attention at all, you might have just said they really go out for their Christmas decorations at church. But we're getting ready to have a Christmas program. And so you probably picked up on that this morning. And so that's what manifest means. It means to be plain, open, something that is clearly visible to the eye or obvious to the understanding. Now, a lot of people, let me just say this before I really get into the message, but a lot of Christians doubt their salvation at some point. They wonder, you know, have I ever really been saved? Have I been saved? And so a lot of times we doubt. We go through a period of doubting whether or not we've really been saved. And if you are one that is doubting or has doubted, you should become acquainted with the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John will help you in your understanding of what it means to be saved, and that it is God's will for us to be sure of our salvation. The Apostle John was a no-so believer. I believe if we could go back in time and hear him preach, John would be real interested in us knowing that we know that we've been saved. And for example, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. Just flip over there. Here's what John said. And he says this many times in 1 John. These things have I written unto you. This is why I wrote this book. This is what he's saying. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John wrote, one of the reasons for 1 John is that we might know that we have eternal life. God wants you to know that you're saved. God doesn't want you to go through life saying, I hope I'm saved. I think I'm saved. I'm hoping for the best, or anything like that. God wants you to know that you have eternal life. The word know is mentioned 33 times in the book of John. No, no, no. John wants you to know some things. And so the book of 1 John is a great, great book to read and to study if you're doubting, or if you need some assurance of your salvation. Look back in chapter 1, verse number 4. Here's another one of these things I write unto you. Chapter 1, verse 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Now, there is no joy without knowing. If you don't know whether or not you're saved, if you don't know whether or not if you died where you'd go, your joy is not going to be full. In fact, it's miserable to go through life. I wonder what happened to me if I died. I think I'm saved, but I don't know if I'm saved. John wrote this, that our joy might be full, but without knowing, there's no joy. And there's no knowing apart from what it talks about in verse number 2, the life. You've got to know the life that this is talking about. The life was manifested. Now, at this time of the year, we're thinking a whole lot about what John was writing about. What we're thinking about is the incarnation. That's what it's called, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The manifestation into this world of the Lord Jesus Christ. The incarnation means this, the act of assuming flesh or taking on a human body. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did when He was born into this world. God took on a human body. That's why it is called the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to preach, this is a Christmas message, I guess you could say. But I want to preach on this subject. We pick it out of verse number 2. The life was manifested. The life was manifested. This is the theme of John. We've got to know about this life. And everything else builds upon the life that was manifested, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're preaching on this morning. The life was manifested. Now, first of all, we want to study a little bit about the life. What life is it talking about? Well, go back to verse number 1. The Bible said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of Life. Now, John, and I'm talking a whole lot about John this morning because he's the author, the human author of the book of 1 John. But John, in his writings, John likes to start at the beginning. John chapter 1, verse number 1. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning, John starts in the beginning. And here, he starts in the beginning, that which was from the beginning. And in Revelation, he starts in the beginning. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so this life that John was talking about, when he's talking about the beginning, he's talking about going all the way back to the very, very beginning, before the world was. Before anybody ever was created upon the face of the earth, he's talking about going back into eternity. And if we go back into eternity before the history of the world, what do we find? We find the Lord Jesus Christ. This life was manifested. God was manifested into this world. He uses the same language. He talks about this life in verse number 1 being the Word of Life. Do you see that in verse number 1? That Word of Life. The word Word is in capital W there. And so John is, when he uses capital W, he's talking about the same thing he was talking about in the book of John. And in the book of John, when he said, in the beginning was the Word, that same capital W-O-R-D. Who is the Word? John chapter 1, verse number 14. The Bible said there, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The only way that you and I could ever be saved, the only way that we could ever have a hope of going to heaven, is the Word had to be manifested into this world. God had to come to this world as a man. God had to die on the cross for our sins, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed, that He might make a way for us to go to heaven. That's the life that it's talking about. And so he calls Him the Word of Life. The Word of Life was manifested. The Son of God was manifested into this world. We talk about Christmas time, and Chloe is Mary in the play this year. And so it's been her responsibility, I guess, to bring baby Jesus to the play. We've been talking at our house about baby Jesus. And you talk about baby Jesus, and we think about the manger, and we think about Mary and Joseph and being born of a virgin and all of those things. And the Bible says that his name shall be called Emmanuel. He was baby Jesus, but he was also baby Emmanuel. And the name Emmanuel, it means this. It means God with us. He's baby Jesus. He's baby Emmanuel. He's baby Word. He's the Word of life. That's what the Bible says here, that he had seen and heard, and his eyes had seen, he's looked upon and handled the Word of life. I've heard a Christmas song, and I don't know if it's new or been around a while, but I've never really heard it till this year, and they've been listening to Christmas music since before Thanksgiving. But there's a song, and it talks about Mary, and Mary's going to have a baby. And it says in that song several times, it says a baby changes everything. And it's talking about Mary, and she's young, and, you know, all the circumstances there and how this is going to change everything. Well, this life that was manifested, this life, the Lord Jesus Christ, that did change everything. I mean, there's been a lot of babies born. It was full moon last week. And when I seen that big moon, I thought, I bet they have an uptick in business over to the hospital. They usually do during a full moon. But a lot of these babies that are born, well, I didn't even know anything about them. And they won't change my life. But this life changed my life and your life and everybody else's life. There's never been a baby that has been born into this world that changed everything like the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason we can talk about eternal life is because of this life. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When he was born, there were heavenly birth announcements. The angels could not hold back their rejoicing. And the message to the shepherds, you've got to come see this. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is the Messiah. That's the word Christ in the New Testament. It means the Messiah. The promised one of God. The one, the hope of Israel. Our hope today. Our only hope for heaven is because of this life. So let me tell you this morning, this is a big deal. We get used to it and hearing about it and singing about it and all of these things. But this life is the life. And apart from this life, there's no eternal life. Remember when Charlie Brown was getting the Christmas play together and everybody was giving him a hard time and he couldn't do anything right, and he said, I wish somebody could tell me what Christmas is all about. And Linus got up and he quoted Luke chapter 2 verses 8 through down through about verse number 14, and he said, and that's where it said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And Linus said, and Charlie Brown, that's what Christmas is all about. Well, let me tell you, that's what Christmas is all about, is this manifested life. It's not trees and ornaments and gifts and candy and all of that stuff. And we like all that stuff, and it's well and fine and in its place. But if no Jesus, there's no Christmas. There's nothing to rejoice about. So this life, this is what it is all about. The life was manifested. There's the life, number one. Number two, there's the link. Let's read verses 1 and 2. John said in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Now, he explains in verse number 2 what he's talking about. Verse number 2 is in parentheses. And so when you find parentheses in the Bible, it's just like literature. It's there to explain. And so we look at verse number 2. What is John talking about? What he's heard and seen and looked upon, his hands have handled. Verse number 2, John said, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." Now, what John is letting us know, he is letting us know that he is an eyewitness to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just a passerby. He's not somebody that said, "Oh, I seen or heard something about that." John was intimately connected as a friend, as a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the Lord Jesus personally. Seen Him, heard Him, touched Him, walked with Him. And he tells us in verse number 2, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. The link to the Lord Jesus Christ here in this passage of Scripture is John as an eyewitness, and he said, "We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you." And so John is telling us what he has seen, what he has heard, what he has experienced. Our link to the Lord Jesus Christ is, guess what? The Word of God. In fact, the only link that we have to the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. John's letter to us is actually God's letter to us. God give us this letter. God give us these witnesses that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ, our own selves. Our link to the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. It is the Bible. John wrote it by inspiration and he sent it. But God preserved it. You see, I've written hundreds of letters in my life. Maybe some of you older ones have as well. And maybe some of you young people have never written a letter. You may have sent an email, or I know you've sent a text. It's the same thing. You write something down. You send it out. But I don't know where all those letters are that I've written. We don't really, once we send it out, you know, we look for a response. But I've written letters that I don't know where they are. I don't know what happened to them. John wrote a letter. God was responsible to preserve it. And God preserved His Word for us to bear witness to us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So, not just John's letter, but all of the Bible. Turn back in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter number 1. That should just be a couple of pages. Peter says about the same thing. You'll see the importance of the Word of God. If it were not for the Word of God, what would we know about Jesus? Not much. Oh, we would know. It's not the same as the Word of God. So the Bible is God's letter to us, God's link, to link us to the Lord Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16, here's what Peter said. Of course, Peter and John are both disciples. Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Boy, Peter saw Him. John saw Him. They saw His works. They saw His walk. They saw Him risen from the dead. If you look on down verse 17, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" That's what happened at the baptism of the Lord Jesus. "And this voice which came down from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Peter's saying that's the same voice we heard on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured before them. Peter was an eyewitness of these things. Verse number 19, he said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." Peter is talking about we have something even more sure than that. And it's the Word of God. Knowing this first, verse 20, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men or man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost of God moved on Peter, moved on John, moved on Mark, moved on Luke. God has preserved His Word for us. Why? Why do we have the Bible? To link us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know in 1 John, Jesus is called the Word of Life? Do you know He's called the same thing in the book of Philippians? I believe it is. Jesus is called the Word of Life. The Word of God is called the Word of Life. We're to be holding forth the Word of Life. And so this Bible is the Word of Life. It's how we know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our link to Him. If it were not for God's Word, where would we be today? But I'm thankful we've got God's Word. And therefore, we can know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the life, there's the link, but number three, there's the loop. You ever feel like somewhere, maybe at work, you're just out of the loop? You don't have any idea what's going on? Well, I'm glad today that we can be in the loop. But I'm not talking about some worldly something. Look at verse number 3, what the Bible says. John said, and I'm back in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Because of what we have, we can be put into the loop. And what is it? It is the fellowship. We can have the same fellowship that John had. We can have the same fellowship with, look what it says in verse number 3, "that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." It's saying we can have fellowship with the disciples. We can have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God the Father, aren't you glad that we can have fellowship with the Lord? Now, think about this. In the Old Testament, there's no church. And there's really no outstanding fellowship in the Old Testament. What you have in the Old Testament, you have outstanding characters. You have outstanding people, and we read about them, and we are inspired by them. For example, the Bible tells us that Adam talked with God. God came to Adam and Eve and talked with them in the cool of the day. Can you imagine that? Well, that'd be great. Adam and Eve, they talked with God. They fellowshiped with God. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 5 that Enoch walked with God. Remember that? He walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And Enoch is the first person in the Bible that is raptured from this world. He was translated, the Bible says. He was taken from this world straight to heaven. The Bible tells us about Noah and how Noah heard what God said and Noah obeyed God. And the Bible says that Abraham was God's friend. And Moses, he so desired to know the Lord that he asked God if he could see him. Exodus chapter number 33, and the Lord told Moses, nobody can see the Lord. But God took Moses up on a mount and put him in a cave and God covered His glory and God passed by and Moses saw the glory of the Lord. So we read about some of these things in the Bible. We read about in the Bible that David, in spite of all his shortcomings, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And so in the Old Testament, in the Bible, we find that there are great characters in the Bible. But in the New Testament, as New Testament believers, we find that we are in a family. And the setting is one as if we were around a table with the Lord. And so we can have fellowship with the Lord. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 8. And Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me." And we can have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in this day and time. And we think about we have an outstanding fellowship. In the Old Testament, there were high priests. And you had to go through the tabernacle, through the sacrifices, through the priesthood to fellowship with the Lord. But in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." You see, it's different now. We don't have to go to a high priest to get to God. We can go individually as ourselves. We can worship the Lord together. We are called together as God's people, as a local assembly, to worship the Lord together. And the thing about being a royal priesthood, the priest can go to God. The priest can pray. The priest can worship. The priest can hear the voice of God. The priest can obey the word of God. God has done for all of us. What we see in the Old Testament was an exception and not the rule. But in the New Testament, we are a priesthood, all of us together. You don't have to come to me to get to God, and I'm glad for that. You can go to God your own self. You can pray your own prayer. You can fellowship with the Lord. Our fellowship is an outstanding fellowship. John wrote, he wrote this to us, that we also may have fellowship. I've been in churches in a lot of different places in the United States and even in the world. And you know what? The Lord is just as good. God is just as real. In England or Alaska or the mountains of North Carolina or the Philippines, God is real everywhere. You get with God's people and you worship God together in spirit and in truth. And I'm telling you, there's fellowship there. It's good there. We don't have to travel to Jerusalem. We don't have to bring sacrifices. We don't have to seek out a high priest. We can come ourselves because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been put into a glorious fellowship. And John is writing, his purpose in writing is to let us know about this great fellowship that we have in the Lord. "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus Christ ought to be as real to us as He was to John. And John saw Him and heard Him and touched Him. But the Lord's real to me. He's just as real to me. How come? Because of that fellowship. We've been put in that fellowship because of God's Word, because of God's Spirit. There's the life. There's the link. There's the loop that we have been put into. Number four, we go on down. There's this subject of the light. He talks about the light. Now in verse 4, the Bible said that John said, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." But let me tell you, all believers are not full of joy. Well, it's not the Lord's fault. You say, my joy It's just not what it ought to be. If you're saved by the grace of God and you know the Lord Jesus and you've got a home in heaven and you've got fellowship with Him down here and you can pray and you can hear the voice of God, I'm telling you, we ought to be the most joyful people in the whole wide world. Our joy ought to be full. It ought to be apparent. It ought to be recognizable by the world that there's something different in us. And John, one of the reasons he wrote was that your joy may be full, but sometimes our joy is not full. Why? Verse number 5, look what the Bible said. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What does it mean to walk in the light? It means to walk in the light of God's Word. David said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you want to know how to walk in this world? You've got to learn it from God's Word. As we walk in the light of God's Word, what God has shown unto us, we are walking in the light. If we walk contrary to that, we are walking in the darkness. Now read on down. He gets more specific if you still don't know what he's talking about. Verse number 8, the Bible said, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let me say, if you're walking in the darkness, you're walking in sin. You know, sin is still in the world, whether we talk about it or recognize it. There are things that are sinful. And if we walk in sin, we're not going to have fullness of joy. We're not going to have full, free, flowing fellowship and worship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a hindrance there. Verse number 9 says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. So when it's talking about walking in darkness, it's talking about walking with sin in our lives. That's the subject. The Bible explains itself. He's talking about sin in verse number 8. He's talking about sin in verse number 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's talking about sin in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, He's talking about sin. And here's the great sticking point to the fullness of joy. It is whether we're walking in the light or whether we're walking in darkness. If we're walking in the light, we have joy. If we're walking in sin, if we're walking in darkness, we don't have joy. You don't lose your salvation if you're saved, but you can sure lose your joy. And you can sure lose your fellowship because there's something between you and the Lord. And sin comes between us. It's what the Bible is talking about. Now, you know, we're in church this morning and we'd probably all say, you know, I think I'm doing all right. But in our day and time, wouldn't you agree there's a lot of walking in shadow? You know, I'm not all the way where I ought to be, but I'm not all the way where I was. And I got a lot of things I need to work on. Well, you need to work on them. So we get satisfied as sort of walking somewhere back here. Let me tell you, that's just same as darkness. If God has showed me something in my life that according to His Word does not need to be in my life, it is sin and there is no joy until I come all the way onto God's side. There's no gray in between. It's either darkness or light. And there's no sin in the light. But the great news is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we've been saved. If you're a child of God and you've been saved by grace through faith, we're one of His children. Praise the Lord for that. But your soul and your spirit are what is saved. This flesh, it's not saved. If your flesh was saved, none of us would ever die. But our flesh is not saved, and our flesh does not go to heaven. Our flesh, we have been given victory by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, but it did not eradicate your sinful flesh. And so every day when you wake up and you look in the mirror, you're looking at public enemy number one, my flesh. And Paul and all the New Testament writers, they agreed. Paul said in Romans chapter number 7, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Boy, isn't that our testimony today? What holds you back from really being, doing what God wants you to be? It's just old flesh. Flesh is a choice. Am I going to, and you make the choice, am I going to walk in the light or am I going to walk in the darkness? Am I going to do what I know God wants me to do, or I'm going to do what flesh wants me to do? And it's just a choice of where we want to walk. Where are we walking? Living in this flesh is sort of like, I think we could compare it to having cancer. Once somebody has cancer, it is always... And the doctor told us the first time we went, they said everything from here on out will go back to this point. You know, it'll be, even if it's gone, if you've ever had cancer, I would think it would be like this. Every time you felt funny, I wonder, is it back? You're doing good, but you still got a 3-month checkup, and then it spread it out, a 6 months and a year and 2 years and 5 years. I think 5 years is, you know, what everybody aims for and all like that. But I've talked to a lot of people over the past 6, 8, 9 months, something like that. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said, oh, yeah, my wife back in 2004, something like that, 17 years ago. It's always there. It's always in the back of your mind. That's how flesh is. Flesh never goes away. It is always there. It may be you're doing better than normal. It may be you're really battling it, you know, but it's always going to be. Till the day we leave this world, we're going to battle with flesh. And it just simply boils down to this. Where am I going to walk? Am I going to walk in the light or am I going to walk in darkness? That's the sticking point to the whole Christian life and our joy and our effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And can God use us, or are we wasting time and life and all these things? Where are we walking? John goes on this. Hey, you can have fellowship. And I'm writing that your joy may be full. But here's the problem. If you're not walking in the light, you're walking in the darkness. And if you say that you have not sinned, you make him a liar and his truth is not in us. These people that say they don't have any problem with the flesh, you need to take your pulse. Because I have a problem every day. And if you're honest, you have a problem as well. Old flesh. Well, there's the light. And last of all, I'll show you this in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He goes on down. He's writing a letter. And he says this, and I love this, my little children. There's the life, and there's the link, and there's the loop, and there's the light. There's the little children. He said, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Well, I'll tell you, that's good, plain advice, isn't it? There ought not be a question. These things write I unto you that ye sin not. Well, we know we shouldn't, but then we know also that we're going to. Well, here's the answer to that. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. My little children, John is writing about our sin problem. And he writes about it like this, my little children. Boy, isn't that a blessing? Let me tell you in the Old Testament how it was. In the Old Testament, Exodus chapter number 19, God was on Mount Sinai. He let Moses come up there, but they had to basically rope off the whole bottom of the mountain. And everybody was scared to death because there was lightning and thunderings and a voice. I'm telling you, that was a scary time. You talk about the judgment of God, the law of God. They had to keep everybody away from the base of the mountain because if anybody came and touched the base of the mountain, they would die. Sin is serious business. The wages of sin is death. And a lot of people, they get their view of God that they go back to the law and the lightning and the thunder, and that's why they think, you know, God's going to strike them with lightning. You hear people talk about that all the time. Oh, if I came to church, the church would burn down. If I came to church, lightning would strike the church. No, it probably wouldn't. Hadn't yet. And I came. You're here. And if we got what we deserved, but when we come over here in the New Testament, my little children, the relationship now is not that scary and not that fear that they had, but the relationship now is one as little children, a father with his children. And to be right is as easy as this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Boy, isn't that a whole lot different? Just like when you was little and you messed up, and you went to mom, and you went to dad, and you said, Mama, I'm sorry. Mama, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Did she hit you over the head with a baseball bat? Probably not. Hope not. What a great love. My little children. You get a little child that comes and says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please don't be mad at me. Please forgive me. What's the response? Oh, that's all right. I love you. I don't want you to be a bad little boy, bad little girl. I want you to be good. I want you to... What a different relationship we have. All because the life was manifested. That now it is a relationship of my little children. And being right with God is a matter of if we confess our sins. My little children, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a go-between. That's the Lord Jesus. And the response is a forgiveness and a cleansing. Well, what a great relationship we have because, it all goes back to this, because the life was manifested. My little children, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be followers of God as dear children. Somebody said one time, not all children are dear. And they're not. I mean, if they're yours, you probably think they are. But we ought to desire to be a follower of God as dear children. I want to please Him. I want to love Him. Because of all that He's done for me. I want to live my life for Him. Jesus was manifested so that we could have this type of a relationship. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus was manifested. The life was manifested. You cannot miss it. Everybody that comes in contact with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has to see it. Has to see the power of it, the pull of it, the benefits of it. You cannot miss it. The life was manifested, and this is why. But you can miss Him. You can miss the relationship. You can go through Christmas, you can know all about it, and not know Him. But the purpose of it all is to know Him. And if we miss Him, we've missed it all. The life was manifested. What are we going to do with it? God calls us in His Word to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to confess our sins, to trust Him with all of our heart and all of our life. And He'll save us by His marvelous grace. And then we get to walk with Him and fellowship with Him. And He's our Father and we're His children. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. The life was manifested for these reasons. I'd like for us today to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I appreciate your good attention. And if you're here today and you've never been saved, that's what you need more than anything else.